coolest.
No, you're the coolest.
No, you're the coolest. Okay, I'm the coolest.
I am Pastor Floyd Hughes from Crossroads Community Church of Jefferson Hills, and with me, as always, is
Pastor Mark Berkshire with Meadow Run Community Church in Ohio Powell.
And both of us have had the privilege of celebrating the 4th of July and our nation's 250th with our congregations, which we're going to talk about because apparently a lot of pastors felt that is something that should not be celebrated. But first, Mark, what are you teaching on Sunday?
We are finishing up our series on becoming more like Christ, looking at the fruit of the Spirit, and we're talking about a attribute that we sometimes just want to pass over, and that's the attribute of self-control, but it's the one that anchors the rest of them. So it's a very important one to look at.
And it is probably one that I know I'm going to have to call on as we get into this discussion, because I have a lot of feelings about this. But before we get there, we are continuing to walk through the book of Acts, and we are going to take a look at probably a more popular passage from the book of Acts, where Philip evangelizes the Ethiopian the eunuch from Ethiopia, and shares the gospel with him, and talk about not just the fact that we should all share the gospel, but the fact that there are a lot of cultures where their religion is limited to specific people. And the Old Testament, from an Old Testament perspective, a eunuch would not have been allowed into the temple in the presence of God. But through Christ, everyone is allowed into the presence of God. Even the people who didn't want to celebrate the 250th birthday of the U.S. are allowed in the presence of God. But well, let me ask you a question, because we were just talking about this. I know we didn't. You said you didn't, but let's share that. How did you celebrate it? How did you commemorate it? What did you do with your congregation?
With my congregation, I just basically greeted them. The first thing out of my mouth was "Happy 250th anniversary." Celebrating and recognizing the fact that we were celebrating a big 4th of July. I didn't go into a lot of discussion about it. I didn't talk about it. I prayed for the nation. I thank God for allowing us the 250 years that we've had of freedom and of privilege that we have to live in this country and to be born in this country, because a lot of countries around the world do not have the freedoms that we have. The fact that we were, in my prayer, I prayed the fact that we were founded on biblical principles. But that's pretty much all I did. Then I went back to the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah, and we didn't devote a whole sermon to it either. Again, first thing I said, welcome to our Sunday celebration and happy 250th. Talked about the fact that although we're not a Christian nation in the sense that you have to be a Christian to live here, we are in the sense that our values and morals and laws are based on Christianity. They're based on the Bible, and shared some quotes from some of the founding fathers that stipulated that. And then, like you prayed for our nation, thank God for the blessings that we have. But there were so many pastors. I was looking at one group, and it wasn't for pastors. It was for church creative people. Like, what can we do creatively to emphasize this or that? And the discussion came up, hey, what can we do to celebrate and emphasize the 250th. And there were hundreds of comments that basically went along the line of, you shouldn't do that, that's idol worship. And then some people were even like, especially if you sing any songs that kind of celebrate America in church, that's idol worship. And I responded, well, if you sing those songs in your car, is it idol worship? I mean, because if you're singing a song, you're singing a song. Doesn't matter where you sing it. So I felt like, and I'm trying to do self-control now, but I did issue in a lot of self-control, because part of me wanted to, like, you know, get pastoral and be like, here's why you need to read your Bible. You don't understand what an idol is, and you don't understand what worship is. Singing a song is not necessarily worship. Worshiping a thing just because you sing a song. So what are your thoughts on that? About you can't sing songs that thank God for blessing our nation.
Well, like I said, all of our songs, not some, but all of our songs from start to finish were based on the United States. We sang Battle Hymn of Republic. We sang My Country Tis of Thee. We sang God Bless America. They were all a part of our celebration. I think people who say that they're idol worshiping, or we're idol worshiping if we sing songs, or if we, you know, say something good about America, they need to get their head out of the sand. And they need to read the Bible. I mean, that's the bottom line.
I actually thought you were going to say they need to get their head out of somewhere else. And I was like, man, I'm going to have to edit this. And
no, I was practicing self-control.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I agree. I did tell one person that I was commenting with. I was like, well, if you look through the Psalms, there are plenty of psalms where people were singing and praising God for what he had done for their nation. I don't know other way to say it. There are biblical pictures of that being done. So I just don't see how that... And
all through the Bible, it talks about that. Not just in the Old Testament. The New Testament as well talks about people who... You know, they gave praise to God for the nations.
Yeah, I think people are, I had one pastor tell me that, because I was like, hey, so what are you guys doing? He's like, they weren't going to do anything. He said if he were preaching that weekend, he would, but because he's not, he knows the other pastor that's preaching is afraid to touch on anything political for fear of getting backlash. And I could see that, because you could say one thing, and I have done this, said one thing, not supporting a political party, but just said something factual. People took it out of context and got upset. I guess we can also talk about, what does the Bible say about, is it okay to love the nation that you are a part of?
The Bible doesn't say... At least I can't think of a verse off the top of my head that says, you know, we are to love our nation or whatever. The Bible does tell us that we are to be mindful of those in authority over us, which is part of the country that we live in. That we are to pray for those in authority over us. That we are to pray for our government. In Psalms, it says that God is the one who places people in power and takes them out of power. So God is very much for government. He's for nations. I mean, he's the one who created it all.
Now, is he saying that, and I know the answer to this, but I'm asking just so, you know, clarify. Is he saying that because some people are going to come back and say, well, he only says that about Israel. He doesn't say that about other nations or whatever, other rulers or whatever.
he doesn't specific, he in the New Testament, when he talks, where we read that, especially, is what I'm thinking of, and I can't remember the book of the Bible it's in right now, but he talks about how we are to pray for those in authority over us. He doesn't say, and pray for the, and he says, pray for the nations, plural, nations. So it's not just one nation, it's all nations.
Yeah, and I can't, I know it's one of the Timothys, first or second.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I cannot remember which one. And another verse that comes to mind, and this is, I'm going to go off on a little bit of a biblical tangent here. This is not specific to all nations. It's specific to God was speaking to those people at that time, but you can extract the principles and apply them here. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, everyone jumps to Jeremiah 29:11, but before that, there are the verses 1 through 10, and in verse 1, it says, this is from Jeremiah the prophet, sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exiles, the priests, the prophets, all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. So they're in a nation where they're not happy. They were forced to live there, and they don't want to be there. So this, again, you could take that principle to the people who are Christians and feel like, I'm not crazy about America right now. But in verse 4, it says this, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exile whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses there where you're at and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons, give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters, multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city, and some could extrapolate that to say to the nation where I have sent you, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. So the concept here is, hey, you may not want to be there, but while you're there, live life, be productive, start families, raise them in God-honoring ways, but pray for the nation and the welfare of the nation where you are, because the better that nation does, the better you're going to do. So I don't get the idea of, hey, I'm here, I'm in an America, I'm enjoying the benefits of America, but my goal is to hate on, tear down, and try to destroy America.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a Christian, because that defies the biblical precedent that we see God sharing with his people.
And I kind of look at it too, is God gave us the privilege of being born, those who are born in this country, to this country. I can't get it out of my head. The ones who are born here, yeah, I can understand maybe a little bit of somebody coming in from another country saying, well, this isn't my country, I'm just here. And the ones who are born here saying, I don't like the freedom we have. I want to get rid of all this freedom. That just makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah, and especially when you think of other nations that they try to reference as an example, don't have those freedoms. They
right.
Don't allow those freedoms. They would persecute you for questioning whether or not they should allow those freedoms. So
right.
It makes no sense to me. But let me ask you this, because you made a very good point. You said for the people born here, what about the people not born here who go through the process to become citizens? Which camp do you think they fall in? Do you think they fall in the, America sucks, I hate America, tear it down? Or do they fall in the, I'm kind of grateful to be here that I went through this process and now I get to call myself an American citizen?
I hope they are in the latter group. My fear is that we have come so far that how do I put this? They're more interested in pursuing the financial end of it than they are the moral end of it. But we have gone so far past morals that it's not recognizable from when we started 250 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Wholeheartedly.
So I mean, that's the whole... The bottom line is we were founded as on biblical principles.
Yeah.
Not everyone not everyone who founded the United States were Christians, but they all agreed that there was one God, and that God is the one who put them where they were. And so they based this whole country on biblical principles. We have gotten so far away from their biblical views and their biblical principles that it's a sin to even think that they even did that in most people's minds.
Yeah, and I think it was the first Supreme Court Justice, John Jay, even said that because we are a Christian nation, have Christian moral values and rules, that it is in our best interest and it's a privilege for us to choose Christian rulers. Because if you're a Christian nation, you don't want someone trying to help put in place or govern a Christian nation who doesn't believe in Christianity, but that's what we keep doing. And I want to go back to your point, because you talked about some people focus on the financial piece. And I can't say everyone, obviously, don't know everyone. But most of the people who are calling out the United States and saying, we're bad, we shouldn't celebrate the 250th, blah, 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 are rich. They're the wealthy ones.
Yeah.
From the congressional leaders who are worth millions, tens of millions, complaining about it. And I'm not trying to call people out, but AOC, Ilhan, whatever her name is, all of those people... And their party is backed by billionaires, but they complain about wealth. But yes. Most of the people who are not born in this country, who immigrated here, and now have lots of money, are complaining about the capital system, capitalism, that got them their wealth, and the rules and laws that allow them to keep their wealth.
Right. So it doesn't make sense to me at all. It's hard. See, I'm at the belief, and I've said this for ever since I can remember, we are not a Christian nation. We are not. We never were. We were founded on Christian values. But because we are a nation of sinners, like every other nation, we've never been a Christian nation. The only Christian nation that ever existed or ever will exist is the Kingdom of Heaven. That's the only true Christian nation that we'll ever have. Israel's not a Christian nation. They're made up of Jewish people. You know, so... We get hung up on these terms. You know, the church doesn't make a Christian. Just because you go to church doesn't mean you're a Christian.
Right.
It means you're a churchgoer. The only thing that makes us a Christian is our belief in Jesus Christ. So we need to... We need to get rid of some of the key words that we use when we're talking about our nation or our towns or our cities.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, I think we should keep the fact that, like you said, this nation was founded on Christian morals and values and even our laws. Several of the founders and some of the presidents, and I forget which ones, I quoted them on Sunday, specifically pointed out that our Constitution is based on our Constitution, which helps guide and where we get our laws and authority from, is based on Christian morals and values. It's based on the Bible. And I think that's something we don't need to change the way we say it. We just need to keep reiterating it.
Right.
Besides, I think we lose sight of that. And that seems to fuel the people who keep saying, and I get, oh, this is not a Christian nation. No, but it's based on Christian morals and values. That is what this nation was founded upon. That is what the Constitution, which we still use, is based upon. So I think we need to reiterate that aspect of it and not focus on, and I get, the whole reason we started this nation was one, well, many reasons, but one of them,
freedom of religion.
Freedom of religion. It's in the very first, I mean, one of the first things that they put when they're like, wow, what are the laws? What are the, and the first one is freedom of religion.
Yeah.
So people can worship the way they want to, as long as your worship doesn't violate the laws and morals and values of our nation, which are based on Christian morals and values.
And you're going to think this is funny. I got on my other computer to look up something, and the thing that popped up on my computer was, is America a Christian nation? It's a YouTube video that just popped up on my screen. But, you know, I think we need to go back as believers and redefine the term, what is a Christian?
And it's funny that you should say that, because usually I will see in... that's a different question. I was going to say, usually I will see in groups where they ask, what is a Christian? But what they're asking is, what is the gospel?
But we need to ask, what is a Christian? Because we don't... We have watered down Christianity so much and so we've made it to the point where it doesn't mean anything to say I'm a Christian. 90% of the people in America say they're Christian.
And a lot of them say they don't want, and here's my thing, a lot of them say they don't want to be called Christian because of the hostility associated with that word, but the Bible tells us, and I forget if it's 1 Peter or 2 Peter, to not be ashamed of being called a Christian. Right. You're persecuted for being a Christian. So I don't want to disassociate myself from that name. Like you said, want to make sure people understand, here's what a Christian is, and I am proud to be one. I'm not going to shy away from that.
Right, right. I'm not saying that, but I think we need to reinstill in people what a Christian is. And a lot of that comes from the pulpit, sadly. Because well, this Friday I'm teaching a Bible study on Revelation. We're in the Church of Sardis. And Sardis was a church that was more worried about their reputation than they were following God. They wanted to be seen as Christians in the world's eyes, but they didn't want God to interfere with their lives. And that's the way that could define a lot of Americans today. We want God, we want people to think we are God-driven people, but we don't want anything to do with God driving us.
Yeah. Well, I also think that there are a lot of people who come into this nation, because we're talking about people born here.
Yeah.
The people who come in, go through the process. Do you think that they feel like, oh, I just went through this process, but now, in order to be a part of this nation founded on Christian morals and values, I have to become a Christian?
I hope that doesn't ring true. Because, again, it goes back to, what is a Christian? You know, do you have to be a Christian? No. If you come to this country and you say you're a Muslim. Number one, you know what country you're coming to. You know, you should know the belief system in this country. And you should know that this country looks at in God we trust, not in Allah we trust. And so there should be, if you're coming in and you're wanting to come to this country, you should already be aware of what you're getting yourself into. Does that make sense?
It does, which brings me to this. Because there are a lot of people who come, you know, to this nation for the benefit. Some, like you said, it's just, I need a better financial status than where I left.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that, but if you come here and get a better financial status, you shouldn't disrespect the country that gave you a better financial status.
Amen.
And I feel like the mayor of New York City, Zoran Mamdani,
Don, he was coming up.
Yeah, I apologize if I'm mispronouncing his name, but on the 250th celebration, he decides to hold a press conference where he tears down the nation that gave him the money that he has, that does not persecute him for his religion. He's allowed to practice it. And yet, it's because of this nation that he has become the mayor of one of the largest cities in our nation. And I feel like it is extremely disrespectful to the people that allowed you to be in that position to basically say this nation sucks, which is basically what he said. Although all of his wealth, the current position he has, everything is because of this nation. To me, that's just extremely disrespectful. Like you said, if I'm coming to your house and I know that you're, I don't know, a vegetarian, you and Don are vegetarians, no meat, you know, nothing, no, I mean, just hardcore. I shouldn't sit in your house and disrespect you, talk bad about you and Don for the way you believe, the way that you think. If I don't like what you guys are doing, I should just not come to your house.
Yeah. Don't bring a steak if that's the case.
Yeah.
I mean, that's true. And we shouldn't. But it also shouldn't surprise us. It really shouldn't. You know, people say, well, you know, we're living in the last days.
Yeah.
Okay. We are. And I bring this up all the time, and I'm sorry if I do, but that's because we are. The United States is nowhere in the Bible. We're not mentioned anywhere in the Bible. And people that say we are wrong. But anyways, in order for us, who at this point we're still considered one of the greatest nations in the world, in order for us to fall into the Bible prophecy picture, we have to become less. And we're headed that way. Doesn't mean we're going to like it. Doesn't mean we need to like it. Doesn't mean that we, you know, but that we stop trying to be better. But we have to realize that what we have and the way it's been progressing is just God's time table and to get us to where he wants us in the very end. That makes sense?
It does. And I think one of the downfalls, like I think you're getting at, of us being one of the greatest nations on the planet, is that we start to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. Mm-hmm. And we start to think things like you said, where we start inserting ourselves in the completed word of God. Like, is this about America? Is this about? It's like a person, they say, when you go look at a group photo, first person you look for is yourself. Mm-hmm. So when we read the Bible, we look for, where is the United States? But it's not about us. Right. Is one of the things that we fail to understand. It's not about us. So we're not in there. But I think that we start to think more highly of ourselves, and we start to put ourselves on a pedestal, and we start to look at, well, we are the picture of God's righteousness, goodness, grace, and mercy, and we are not. If we were, then it would say, be like, because in the Bible, God names nations before they were even formed. He calls people before they were even, you know, hundreds of years before they were born, says, this is a person I'm going to use for this, this, and this. So the Bible is not about us. We are not the picture of God's goodness, righteousness, and justice. We as individual Christians should be. We as a nation are not. But we as a nation should be obedient to God's will. Because, again, if we are Christians, people filled with the Holy Spirit of God, called to be like Christ and fulfill Christ's purpose, then that's what we should be doing. But I want to get back to, because there are still people, and I don't want us to sound all negative, there are so many people, lots of good people who come into this nation, who go through the process, and who are grateful for the benefits and the privileges that they have here. And I have to call out one in particular. She doesn't know who I am, never heard of me, probably never will. And she's not. I don't know if she's religious, not heard her say anything about religion. But I listen to a lot of the videos that she makes. I forget her real name, don't know, but she goes by One Canadian Bacon. So if you guys are listening to this, go look that up. She's on Instagram. She's on TikTok. I don't know if she's on Facebook. She goes by One Canadian Bacon. And she will take a lot of the political things, the hate that people are throwing about America, and she will go and she will respond to them and say, hey, look, you said this is why America sucks. I went and did some research and took some notes. And I love that she takes notes. She always taps her notebook. I said tapping her notebook is like a dog whistle. It means pay attention. And she shares the research. And her whole thing is, don't believe me. Go do the research yourself. Come to your own conclusion of truth. And don't follow just a political perspective. Seek for the truth. She always pushes that. And she says, hey, I'm grateful to be here. I forget how many years she's been here. She went through the process to come into the country legally, which is why I think a lot of the people that go through that process, they also are not fond of the people who come in illegally, ended up getting more benefits. So she went through the process. She does the research. She looks for the truth, tells others to look for the truth. And one of the videos I watched, I was like, this is great, but it also broke my heart because she was like, I celebrated the 4th of July. I celebrated America's 250th. She's like, I had a great time with my family and friends and was grateful for all the benefits that are here in America. And then got all of this hate from people who were saying this is why America sucks, yada, yada, yada.
And I think it's interesting, too, if you listen to the interviews from the people here for the World Cup, saying how they were lied to about America, that America is better than what they were told it was.
Yeah.
And you know, and that's what irks me and sets my blame up is when people who live here put us down, but people who are coming in, who are visiting here, says, this is one of the greatest things I've ever seen. This is better than peanut butter on bread.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that should be a lesson that each of us should do. Break away from your news media cycle of rage, your social media cycle of outrage, and just go out amongst people who not necessarily, you know, believe like you believe, think like you think, have your political perspective, and just see what a great nation. It was good to go out, because I normally don't do hiking. So my wife and I and the in-laws, we went to Ohio, went to a lot of spots, did a lot of hiking. No one complaining about each other online, no one complaining about politics, just people out with their families enjoying the beauty of this nation. And it was great. It was great to be away. Plus, the house we were at had limited Wi-Fi, kept dropping out. So we couldn't, even if we wanted to, stay online. And we had absolutely no cell service. So there were times when we just sat around, played games. All right, let's go for a hike. We're out in a cave. We're out in the woods. We're climbing hills. And all we see are other families doing the same thing, spending time with one another, loving on one another. Break away from the ridiculous, hateful social media cycles and news cycles that are trying to make you think one thing, and then go out and see if that is what you experience out in the world. And 99% of the times, it's not going to be. You're not going to go out to the grocery store and hear people hating on one another because, oh, you think this and you think that. Just go out and enjoy life and do what, like you said, the people from other nations are doing. They're coming here and they're living their best lives. They're going to the restaurants. They're going to the concerts. They're going to the plays. They're going out into the parks. And they're like, we love America. And I think that's what many of us need to do. We need to fall in love with America again, the real America, not the social media America, not the Democrat or Republican America.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think part of the problem is they've taken out history in our schools and some of the other things that promoted the greatness of our country. And I mean, you ask kids about the Civil War, and most of them look at you like you're talking some foreign language.
Yeah. You know? Go ahead.
No, so I just think we need to get back to promoting this, not just in school, but in our homes, because we don't want to go against what everybody else is saying. Let's take the blinders off and see the beauty of our country.
Yeah, I think, and this could be a whole other podcast. There's a difference between teaching history, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and teaching or trying to educate children that this is why America sucks. Those are two different things. Teaching, hey, here's history. Here's where we didn't do so great. Here's where we did great. Here's where we're trying to improve. And that's different than teaching, here's why America sucks.
Absolutely. And, absolutely.
Maybe that's a whole other podcast. Dangerous territory to get into. That's what get us kicked off the internet. But let's do this. Let's pray for our nation. Pray. I mean, all the things that, you know, we prayed on Sunday for our nation. Pray for the people coming here, that they acknowledge and know what a blessing it is to be a part here. Pray for the people that are here, that we acknowledge and know what a blessing it is to be a part here, and thank God for the benefits that we have in this nation. And pray for our first responders and our military, because they're a huge part of making this nation what it is.
Right, right. Father, thank you for the privilege of coming to you, first of all. Privilege of knowing that we have dual citizenship, that our citizenship isn't just here on earth, but as believers, we have our citizenship is first of all in heaven. Hmm. So we thank you for that, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to recognize the benefits and the privilege we have of living in this great nation of ours today, Lord. Lord, it's been here. It's a young nation compared to all the others in the world, but it's a nation that was founded on your principles. Help us to get back to observing some of those principles, Lord, and all of those principles. We ask that you would just bless those who are coming to this country, escaping the situations they are in other countries. We pray for those who are visiting our country, and thank you for the positive impact that we have had on them. We ask, Lord, that you would just continue to bless our nation, continue to be with our leaders. We ask for wisdom and guidance that you can bring to them, Lord. And Lord, for every decision they make, may they make it according to your will and according to your purposes. And Lord, we also pray for our first responders and ask that you would be with them, Lord. Even those who have left our country right now to go to Venezuela to help with the earthquakes, Lord, and the first responders that are dealing with that right now. We pray for the first responders here, Lord, that deal with so much and they see so many things, Lord. We ask that you give them strength, you give them comfort, you give them peace for what they do for us. And we thank you for their service for us, Lord. We pray for our military men and women. And Lord, we ask the special protection on them. And we pray for their families, Lord, as they have lent out their loved ones to us, to serve us. We just pray that you would give a special blessing on the families of the military and of the first responders today. And Lord, we just pray that you would just continue to be with the pastors in our country. Mm. Lord, help us to realize the privilege we have of being able to preach in freedom, the true freedom that you give us through Christ. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you, and we just ask that you would just watch over us until the next time we talk.
Cool.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, I'm the coolest.